are listening to MOSA Radio Network, food for the inner you.
When sleeping women wake, mountains move, ancient Chinese proverb. Women are on a journey of discovering themselves on a much deeper level. They are seeking to become more aware of what the ancestral mothers left for us to bring forth into this modern day that will assist us on our path to wholeness. Elijah Muhammad, a well-noted man, said, "No nation can rise higher than its woman." As women participate and remember the true nature of who they are and why they are the way they are, the world will be a better place, for balance will come into play on a more consistent basis. Wisdom Talks speaks to all of the aspects that make up a woman's life. Let us journey together into the depths of the wise woman tradition.
Welcome to Wisdom Talks. This is your host, Dr. Tanya K. Freeman, and my guest today is Laiya Anebnua, who is a Tantrika Yogini. Welcome. How are you, my sister?
Oh, I'm doing quite well, thank you, and thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you for being here. Mm-hmm. I know you have so much to share regarding the Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'd like you just to go ahead and begin telling us how you got to go on this journey to becoming a Tantrika Yogini.
Well, it started, I'd say over 20 years ago, way over 20, maybe more closer to 25 or a little longer. I've been involved in the metaphysical community, or whatever you want to call the alternative spirituality movement, for quite a few years, and for me it was a gradual process. I mean, I started off doing transcendental meditation. From there I got into yoga and learning tarot and doing just a lot of different modalities, and I just found it more and more important to, as time went on, to just go deeper than just the process of transforming my thinking, because it wasn't enough. I mean, it had to go back into, like, generational type things. And what I found is that the tantric tradition is really a very, very ancient woman spirituality practice, actually, and took me a long, I mean, that was the end result, but it was like I was being guided back to the lineage of, through yoga, basically, of learning the core or the root of yoga and the practices that were before the Vedic tradition. The Vedic is what most people think of as yoga, which is the which came about as a result of a conglomeration of different practices from the Himalayas, from the Indo-Aryans that came into India and kind of melded what was already there with their own traditions. And it was a snowball effect, actually, that took me back to the ancient goddess religion. And that's what it's called today, but it was, back then it was the mother. Focused on the divine mother and the feminine principle. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically how it took many years, but that's basically, it was just like a spirit guided me to go to the core, get to the root of the practices.
Because I'm glad you did, my sister.
Well, thank you. I think it's very powerful for women, especially women of color, because, you know, we've been pretty much ostracized from the mainstream religions, except we're on the peripherals, you know, and we need to know that in our bloodline, in our very essence, we are the center. Okay, and that's what's really important for us to know in this day and age.
Yes, truly.
Mm-hmm.
And being a Tantrika Yogini, you also impart information about sacred sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you expound on unlocking the secret power of the sexual energy?
Well, the power is what's the driving force behind our lives. Is sexual energy is basically life force. It's places where it's stored in the body, but it's in essence, it permeates our entire being. And basically, Tantra yoga practices help to free this energy up, because unless we are actually training our bodies and minds and spirits, and not just training but freeing the energy up, we end up with a lot of problems and psychoses and just different issues in relationships, because we aren't really allowing the energy to flow properly. And our sexuality is in essence what drives the universe. I mean, that's the essence of Tantra. It's basically manipulating the energies of the universe, the male and female energies of the universe, to create something new. Now, we do this unconsciously all the time, but in any magical practice, and basically that's what Tantra is, in essence, is a magical practice. You learn how to work with those energies consciously, and those male-female energies are in our bodies, and they're different. Like, for instance, the left side is the in the yogic tradition is the side that actually controls the intuitive side, and the right side controls the more rational side. And if you want to take that to a level of sexuality, the left side is feminine, the right side is masculine, but it controls the opposite side. And the key is balance. That's what, it's not trying to control one or the other, is bringing harmony and balance and living in harmony with both, all aspects of ourselves. And we are both male and female, and that's, you know, another very important thing. And so what I think is somewhere why there's so much imbalance right now between the sexes is because we're not balanced in our own beings, and that carries over in our relationships.
Yes. And how would you teach someone?
Well, the first thing I usually do is look at their chart, their astrological chart, which gives me a bird's eye view of the energies that are strongest in them and what needs to be balanced and that type of thing. Usually I try to help them design a yoga practice, a hatha yoga, which is the physical aspects of yoga, of what most people, you know, see when you see yoga journal and these kind of things. That's the physical, the hatha yoga, where you see people in pretzel positions and all of that. Well, you don't have to actually do that, but basically that's the first step, is to really start opening the channels in the body temple. From there, you know, we find out what meditations work for them, what mantras work for them, which deity, what aspect of the creator they are most closely aligned with, and if they are ready, when they're ready for the deeper practices, such as the sexual development, then we'll get into Kundalini yoga, which is the actual releasing, learning how to release the energy and take it to different levels. And, you know, if they're in relationship to a partner, then they can do, there's some things they can do with a partner. You don't have to have a partner in order to practice Tantra. That's something that people, you know, really don't understand, that ideally, in fact, the most powerful Tantra masters don't necessarily have partners. You know, they work the energy and the magic within their own bodies and their own circle, so to speak. So it just depends on there are a lot of variables that are involved as to whether or not the sexual elements of the yoga practice come into play, and how soon they come into play with the person.
Okay. All right, now let me ask you another question, because basically we only know about Tantra from an Indian perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to ask you this. I've heard of an Egyptian Tantra.
Yes. Yeah, Sema Tantra. Mm-hmm. Sema Smaltawi is the ancient Kemetic tradition, the Sheti Mer are practices that are connected with the ancient Kemetic tradition. It's an initiation. You know, it's not something that everybody did. It was a temple practice primarily, and it involved. The practices themselves are kind of universal, but what you will find is that they're called different things, and they might have slight differences in the way they see things and that type of thing. But basically, it's all about the Kundalini Yoga. Kundalini, whereas in India, they call it the Kundalini Shakti.
Okay.
And the Kemetic tradition, it's the end result is the uraeus, which is the serpent power that you see with the paras or pharaohs. With, you know, you'll see the serpent sticking out of their headdress.
Yes.
Same exact situation. They have their own names for the chakra energies, which are basically the energy centers in the body where the energy pools and creates vortexes or gateways between dimensions. That's how you can travel out of your body and that type of thing. So it's basically similar but different, as far as because you're taking into account cultural differences, basically.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, are you at liberty to share what the ancient Egyptians, had called what we know today as chakras? Or is that...
Well, they're different names. They have different names for each center, like the Muladhara is called something else. And I can't think of the names of them right now, but they are, it's not that I'm trying to hide them or anything.
Okay.
It's an open information, but I just can't think of the names. But I do know that the Kundalini is the uraeus in the Shikim. The Shikim is the actual energy, where Shakti is the Indian name, Shikim is the Kemetic name.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
but it basically does the same thing. The practices are a little different, but the end result is the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the end result is very important, too, especially
yes.
in this society and in this day and age.
Yes.
When, sex is something that's looked at as causing you to die. Okay.
Yeah, I can. I can.
Because of HIV and AIDS, more so.
Mm-hmm.
The complications, I would say, of having a compromised immune system, if you will,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and also young women who are not aware of their power, if you will,
yeah.
or their gift
right.
of being a sacred gateway.
Yes.
Okay.
That's so, if nothing else, that's what is drawing me to do this work, is because the young women and men, but the women are the initiators. That's just the way it is. We take our men into different dimensions. That's part of what we are supposed to do anyway. And the young women really have not been given the tools to do that. They do everything unconsciously. They end up with all kinds of emotional and psychic imbalances and physical imbalances because they aren't initiated. They don't know the power of their bodies and wombs and spirits. And because of that, we have a lot of chaos running around. So I would really love to just do, initiation training for young women, anywhere from like 12 to 18. That's mm-hmm. Those are their key years, if not a little younger, to begin to just start to know that your body is a temple. And that there are certain things that you do for it, not only physically as far as how you feed it and that type of thing, but who you let near it and how you have to protect yourself psychically from many of the positions of mainstream societies towards women. We aren't walking around in head-to-toe burkas, but we are suffering from the opposite of that, which is a total lack of respect for, our physical being, our bodies, other than being like an objectified tool for somebody's pleasure, where there's no mind, where there's no heart connection, that you literally are selling yourself, or just total sexual surrender. Well, I won't even say surrender. I'm not even sure what the word is right now, but it's just a basic lack of understanding the power of sexual energy and how to use it in a positive way.
Exactly.
And that's what I'm committed to helping women, young women do.
Yes.
And their mothers and grandmothers, you know, because it's such a, it's just such a generational issue.
Yes, it is. And that comes from not being taught the ancient ways.
Right.
And how to keep them sacred.
Right.
We have been taught in one respect to be sexual beings because of the commercials that come on television and
mm-hmm.
how sex is selling everything just about.
Exactly.
And then on the other hand, we're being told, no, just don't do it. Stay a virgin until you get married. But we're not being taught what a quote that I love from Dr. Sunyata Amen.
Mm-hmm.
The body is a temple and sex is a prayer.
Yes.
And I know whenever I talk to young women, I definitely always say that to them,
mm-hmm.
Especially when I'm in consultation with them,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't just go and give it away to anyone for,
right.
you know, a pack of double mint gum, so to speak.
Right.
You know, or looking for love in all the wrong places.
Right.
You know,
so, and that counts.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but understanding the nature of who they are and the work that you're doing is extremely important because, you know, to reiterate the power of the sexual energy, the magic and the creativity that comes from it is not just children, but creating a lot of things.
Right. And that
energy.
Can be blocked with the wrong, you know, with the misuse of the sexual energy, that even the ability to create word, you know, books, art, works of art, just a healthy sense of self, that can be distorted, you know, and that's why more often than not, it's almost like I have to start from scratch with people with the healing first, you know, because it's been so much damage there.
Oh, yes. Truly.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have your work cut out for you.
Yes, well, I'm glad I'm not the only one out here doing it. Thank God for people like you and Dr. Amin and the sister in New York. I can't think of Reverend Charmaine. You know,
yes.
There are a lot of women who are doing it. I mean, not a lot. No, I should take that back. Not a lot. But they're, you know, that my teacher who is in California, her she's an initiated comedic Nubian priestess, Nut Tamu Ankh Butterfly. She studied with Baba Heru. She was in the same class as Queen Afua,
mm-hmm.
actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so she, and her specialty is the Shati Mer, which is the comedic sacred sexual magical tradition.
Okay. All right. Now, I want you to also, since we know that we have young women who are 12, 13, 14 years old who are
mm-hmm.
entering their womanhood, and then you have women who are in that mothering or warrior mode, and I don't mean warrior as far as being in a fighting stance, but warrior in another respect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the matriarch, you know, that elder, and
mm-hmm.
you have various stages of womanhood dealing with their sexual radiance.
Okay. Right.
Can you, you know, share with us at each point the sexual radiance that comes in?
Okay, the first younger woman experiences an abundance of just sexual desire and transformation and changes in her perspective about herself and with the hormones, just a lot of up and down emotions. So the most important thing for her to do is to recognize that these energies are very natural. And the more she feels comfortable with her sexual energy, the less likely she is likely to be thrown off when men and young men or male energy starts coming towards her in a sexual way. If she's very comfortable with how sexual energy feels, and then this is happens through, you know, learning how to meditate, learning how to do her womb stances and centering and that type of thing, she's not going to be, you know, the first guy that comes along. He ain't going to necessarily get it, you know what I'm saying? Because she's comfortable with her sex. She's learning to become comfortable with her sexual energy. She knows it's powerful. She knows it's special. and therefore she, you know, learns how to protect that and to channel it and hold it in ways that are healthy for her. So that's the maiden phase. The mature, more mature phase, when a woman is sexually active, the most important thing for her to do is to be discriminating in who she allows in her sacred space. It's very important for her to develop some kind of consistent practice of health and well-being, and because stress is the worst thing for a woman. I mean, she is the water element, and when water is constantly agitated, there's no peace, you know. And for her to radiate her sexual energy, and for it to really build, because there comes a time when you really want to start building a storehouse of sexual energy for yourself to use whenever you need it, and to, whether you're not feeling well or, you know, for childbirth or whatever, you need to have a sense of peace. And so what is important for her is to start cultivating practices that will do that, whether it's yoga, Tai Chi, Qigong, whatever she chooses.
What about belly dancing?
Belly dancing is good. I don't know that I think it's healthy. It's definitely something, you know, temple dance is very sacred, and you know, you use it, it can be part of a Kundalini yoga aspect of her practice, in and of itself. Well, dance, African, any kind of sacred dance is very important because it keeps you connected to the divine. So, you know, anything that's going to help her build her sexual force, and being able to store it, and like I said, you know, learning to discriminate in who she allows in her space, making sure she's eating healthy food that's going to nourish her body. It's very important for her to make sure to really learn and know who she is, what she's here to do, so she won't waste a lot of her time and be drained and dragged down by life circumstances of being in work that has no meaning for her. You know, that was a big thing when our mothers and grandmothers, a lot of them really didn't have a choice. Well, they went through that in order so we would have more freedoms. And, you know, it's still unfortunate that more often than not, so many of us get stuck in jobs that are life-sucking, basically.
Yeah.
So it's not just the sexual, I mean, it's not just the actual physical sexual thing that she has to develop and cultivate, but she has to really, it's important to learn how to choose a partner. You know, all these things are the mature aspect, and when you get to be what they call a crone or an elder, again, if you have done a lot of that in the previous stage especially, then you will have the storehouse to go out and, you know, be a mentor to other women. But, you know, more often than not, we're spending our elder years still struggling with stuff that we couldn't get rid of in our mature, you know, our motherhood years. So a lot of that still, I'm going to say the same thing, is doing your sacred sexuality practices as far as learning to store your ovarian. Even when you're stopped menstruating, you still are releasing energy, and it's important to know how to store that energy and to move with it and to, you know, step up your spiritual practices, more meditation, less heavy duty exercises and that type of thing. You're moving into a period where your energy is cooling down, so you want to, you know, learn how to store, or you should already know how to store your energy and move it through your body when you need it, and be a mentor, mm-hmm. you know, and enjoy yourself more. You know, the older you get, the less stress you should have. It
this
shouldn't be the other way around.
Yeah.
I mean, should, but, you know, I know we live in a world where a lot of that, you know, people are struggling with things in their elder years that they really should be dealing with in their maiden years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's unfortunate, but that's just what, and, you know, I'm not going to say it's bad or good. It's just what is, you know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you take me, when you just said it just is, you took me to the landmark form when they say there's no good, there's no bad, there's no right, there's no wrong. It just is.
It is, exactly.
You know, it just is what it is. And, yes, a lot of our elders are going to work to pay the bills and taking
right.
all different types of medication that are causing a lot of different things to happen. And talking about taking medication, just want to segue for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm finding that a lot of young women, before they reach the age of 35, are losing their wombs to hysterectomies.
Yes.
Okay, would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. The fibroids run in my family. I have them. They're, you know, at a dormant stage for me. I'm still working on releasing them completely. I'm committed to that. But a lot of it is the diet. A lot of it is the stress. A lot of it is bad sex and bad relationships. I mean, there's no one cause. It's the Western lifestyle. And especially it's hard on women of color because it's so hard on us because it's such an opposite of who we are that I think our bodies and wombs take a hit, you know, much more than our counterparts. And there's no easy way to deal with it. I mean, you're dealing with, you know, pollution can cause fibroids and that type of thing, you know, because it causes false estrogen. That false estrogen syndrome.
Mm.
You know, the diets are horrible. You know, women eat, you know, we don't need beef and all this heavy stuff. That's not, you know, that's for men who are out working in construction and all that kind of stuff. But our bodies were not designed for that.
Right.
You know, all of the hormones that are in the meats now and all of the artificial stimulants and all of that is wreaking havoc on our bodies. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to be a strict vegan, although I know Queen of Food strictly believes that, and it works for those who can. I do feel that you have to eat as clean food and as food as close to the earth, meaning that your body has to reestablish the ability to recognize it as food. Okay, because so much of what we put in our system, and so it just tosses, it doesn't know what to do with it, so it either tosses it out or it stores it as a toxin somewhere in your body. And, you know, the mucus that builds up to be a fibroid can be released, but you have to start resetting your DNA to recognize food as food, you know, and because our bodily systems are so confused. So, you know, it's just a whole lot of different things that have to be done in order to heal our bodies of fibroids. It's an epidemic. It really
is. Yes, it is. And in fact, I do believe, I don't know this for a fact, but this is what I'm hearing, okay,
mm-hmm.
is that the wearing of pants all the time
mm-hmm.
for a woman
mm-hmm.
is not good.
No.
You know, a lot of the pants that they wear are too tight. They don't.
Right.
The yoni.
Horrible.
Yeah. The yoni does not get a chance to breathe.
Right.
You know, and they're in clothes all the time because a lot
mm-hmm.
of women do not sleep in the nude.
Right.
Okay. You know, and then they use artificial
pads and all
and
of that.
Things of that. And
it has dioxin in it. Yes.
Exactly. You know, and
so, yeah.
soap suds.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
instead of using a nice feminine wash,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
so a lot of all of this besides
it adds up.
Yes, it does, and holding the anger.
Right, all of that. Well, that comes from, you know, well, so many things, and you know, don't underestimate the job influence, you know, the work influence, the career influence, because when you go on somewhere every day that you absolutely hate. That's stress.
Oh, yeah.
That is extreme stress. And I've been in those kind of environments. And I know that, you know, it makes you, and you shut down, you know, all your creative juices are shut down. And when you start doing all of these, you know, for a woman to start doing, you know, all of these different things that we're talking about, she's going to have explosions in her life, you know, and even that's a stressor. But the key is that, if she can make it through that explosion, that tower experience, then she'll come out on the other side and have the kind of life, you know, that she's supposed to have and then can carry on the tradition that we're talking about.
Yes, and
mm-hmm.
slowly but surely it's coming around. Yes, it is. Now, we're going to take a little short music break, and
okay.
we'll be right back. You are listening to our sister, Tantrika Yogini. Laia, I'm sorry, I almost called you Liaya.
Okay.
Okay, Laia Anebnua, and of course, this is your host, Dr. Tanya K. Freeman, and this is Wisdom Talks. We'll be back in a few minutes. Relax, enjoy the music. welcome back to Wisdom Talks and to my guest today, Tantrika Yogini Laiea Anebnua. Welcome back, sister.
Thank you.
Okay.
This is great.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Now, I just want us to move on for a moment here and go into the empowering sexuality, becoming an erotic woman on your own terms.
Okay.
Now, you can talk about that a little bit, and then I notice that you do have some questions here in your article, but I just want you to start it off to tell the listening audience out here about being an erotic woman.
Okay. Well, an erotic woman, and when I was writing that particular article, I was thinking of a woman who is very conscious of her sexuality, who makes conscious choices and empowering choices, and expressing that part of her life. Erotic is the ability to, is arousing. It's living in an aroused state. And when you start working with Kundalini Shakti energy, it brings more energy into the brain. Everything is enlivened around you, not just your sexual life, but all things become much more clear, more vibrant. And in order to live like that, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of brutal honesty about the choices that you make and why you're making them. And that's why, you know, I came up with that article and wanted to assist women in empowering themselves by becoming very honest about what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because as you say here, casual sex is very detrimental for women.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I can truly agree with that.
And when I say casual, I don't mean like, I think you can have a heartfelt one-night stand. What I'm talking about is where there's no emotional, I shouldn't even say emotional, there's no heart energy. You're working strictly from the genital area, mm-hmm. and there's no connection with the person.
Yes.
And there's no spiritual energy between. It's just purely animalistic. And that's where most people, I shouldn't even say most because I don't know most people, but I think that that's what a lot of us passing for sexuality right now is, basically just animalistic, unconscious sex.
Mm-hmm. And that happens in marriages as
well. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, I mean, and this goes back a number of years when women got married because that happened to be the right man for the family. Okay,
mm-hmm.
because there was money in the family or there was some sort of prestige and, you know, and girl and boy didn't necessarily really like each other. And,
right.
You know, and he would, I'm going to use the word mount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would mount her and she would be like, okay, now when is this going to be over with? You know,
right.
So that is definitely not something that's good for the spirit.
No, or the body.
Exactly.
Really.
I was just going to say that. Much less the body. It's like, oh,
mm-hmm.
gosh, please, hurry up and get off.
And get off of me. That's something that was, you know, I was, one thing I read, and I don't know if you're familiar with this doctor. Her name is Christine Northrup. She
yes.
wrote a book, Women's Wisdom,
Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom.
And that's a surefire way for not only fibroids, but more serious issues like cancer, is to really... you know, have no emotional connection or spiritual connection with what you're doing. And, you know, having sex like that with just, like you said, him mounting her, and that's it. Like, she's thinking about, okay, I got to wash dishes and or whatever it is. And, you know, that's a form of prostitution.
Yes,
you
it
know.
Is.
And that your body, your spirit isn't going to allow it, but for so long, you know. And it's interesting that, from what she said, most women who have things like ovarian cancer are from very upper class or very wealthy background or, you know, lifestyles, which I find interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It takes me back to a joke, but I'm not going to say the joke. It was
okay.
some time ago, but this is not the time or the place
okay.
to share it, but
mm-hmm.
when you said that, it just... It took me
brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then just before we go into something else, you're familiar with Sheikh Anta Diop?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Ivan Van Sertima. That's
yes.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Ivan Van Sertima in Women in Antiquity.
Okay.
That he said, heaven is between a black woman's thighs.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to go so far as to say that heaven is between a woman's thighs.
Okay.
Okay. And the reason why I wanted to, you know, put that in there is because, again, if women understand the nature of who they are, and if men understand the nature of who a woman is as a sacred gate, as the pearly gates, so to speak, mm-hmm. when they enter her, then a sexual relationship becomes much more than just an animalistic thing.
Right. That's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first step. I mean, that is the very, 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 very least of the mindset that you should go into in a sexual relationship, a sacred sexual relationship, mm-hmm. is that you are entering sacred space, literally.
Exactly.
And, you know, from there, it only gets better
mm-hmm.
with that kind of mindset.
That's right.
And that takes preparation. That takes preparation.
And talking about taking the preparation, this goes right into it, is here you have some questions that a woman should ask
mm-hmm.
Before becoming involved in a sexual relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first question here is, why am I having sex with this person?
Mm-hmm.
The next question is, what are my expectations in this relationship?
Mm-hmm.
The next question is, how would I feel and deal with it if I never heard from him again?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have here, if you're already in a relationship, why am I doing this? Revenge, mm-hmm. boredom, anger, unfulfilled desire. Is this a long-term solution or a short-term one?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do to address the real issue?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are some very good questions that a woman should ask herself.
Yes, and those are the very ones that we usually don't. When you're in the heat of passion or you see someone who really does it for you, that's the last thing you want to think about is, like, how is this going to affect me? Or at least that's the way we have been conditioned to respond to our sexual thing. And, you know, again, by doing these practices on a regular basis, it gives you a sense of calmness and coolness. So I'm not saying that you won't feel desire. That's not the case. That's not, if anything, you'll feel more desire. But because you are so used to feeling desire and you know that it's a part of your everyday reality, you'll be able to handle it better than if you are shut down or erratic in your sexual expression and that type of thing, and then you find yourself in a hot and heavy situation. Your mind just shuts down and you say, okay, body, do your thing kind of thing. And then you wake up with all these regrets and realize that this was really not a wise move for whatever reason. And you end up with a lot of stuff that you have to work through, and then it just sets you back.
Exactly.
So it just is real important, you know,
to ask these questions.
Yes. Or more. Or ones that, you know, I haven't even thought of, but to take some breaths and to step back before you set something in motion that you really aren't prepared to handle.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you know something else that I've found within my work, and I'm sure that you probably found it within yours,
mm-hmm.
is that the way a woman relates to men is usually directly related to her relationship with her father.
Yes, unless she's done the work to, if it wasn't such a healthy relationship with her father,
mm-hmm.
if she's done the work to work through that difficulty, then that's one thing. But absolutely, how she relates to men is how she relates to her father.
Mm-hmm.
So how her father relates, or she'll attract her father over and over again. You know,
exactly.
If it wasn't unhealthy, even if it was healthy, mm-hmm. she'll attract someone who has similar qualities because
mm-hmm.
that's what she's comfortable with. That was her first experience, and if it wasn't such a good experience, then she has to work through those, you know, channels.
Exactly.
That's the new ones.
Yeah, because you know what? I'm sorry for interjecting, sister. What I find too is that when a young woman, and a woman who hasn't worked through things, who hasn't healed her sexual energy as yet, but what I find is if there was disappointment with the father,
mm-hmm.
okay, betrayal with the father, mm-hmm. that when they become involved with these men, they're looking for love.
Yes.
And they're looking for it in all the wrong places. It's like if the father was sexually abusive to them, okay, mm-hmm. they seem to have a tendency to attract that same kind of energy to themselves. And it's
yes.
almost as if they're trying to seek daddy's approval.
That's one way of looking at it, or actually trying to work it out of their own system, you know, and they don't know any other way. And it's unconscious. It's all a very unconscious process. It's not, she is trying to get her daddy's love. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, you know.
Very interesting. All
mm-hmm.
right, we have so much more to cover here, so I want to move on. You know you're good
okay.
for another interview, right?
Oh, well, I hope so. I'd love to be.
Yes, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You, in this article, also mentioned the seven signs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'd like us to go through them.
Okay.
Okay, the hand-to-hand palms and fingers of both partners should be touching.
Mm-hmm.
Mutual compatibility indicates ease with each other in opening up past issues and sharing feelings.
Mm-hmm.
A feeling of simpatico,
mm-hmm.
good for mental connections.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, could you share more on that? Would you like to?
Well, I mean, it's each one of the exercises are designed to help you to see the potential. Where the potential for the relationship is going. As far as if you're looking for a long-term committed relationship, then if you don't have much compatibility through touch, then it's going to be hard to really create a foundation. So, you know, you have to really be honest. This is another exercise in honesty. Your response is, if you trust them, and they will not lie to you, but once again, we can talk ourselves into or out of pretty much whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they're designed to help you connect with this person's energy pattern and their auric field and what they're really about. And it's a way, you know, and you have to do it sober. You have to be, you can't be on drugs or, you know, alcohol or anything like that for at least 3 days. So it's definitely something that you're not going to do. You're going to pick up somebody in the bar and take them home and do this. It's something that you got a plan on. Again, it gives you, you know, it's another thing that's giving you some time and space to find out if this is something really where it's going to be, you know, beneficial and healing for you. But that particular exercise is to help you see the connection of touch and how they're directly connected with the chakra system. And this one is the touch. Which is the muladhara, the physical. And so, you know, that's what you're learning, how much you're going to be on the same wavelength as far as your mental state and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. And what I think is interesting here, too, with the hand-to-hand palms and fingers, is the opening up of past issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because mm-hmm. that brings in an honesty.
Yes.
All right, to be able to share past issues, being quiet for that amount of time, whatever amount of time it is. In fact, before I go on to the second one, what's the amount of time?
A couple of minutes.
Okay.
A couple of minutes, 2 or 3 minutes at tops. You know, you want to give yourself a chance to actually start, and it takes about close to a minute for the energy to start flowing where you can actually feel it between the people, each other. So I would, you know, it doesn't have to be very long, just a couple of minutes.
Okay. All right. Now let's go on to the second sign, which is feet to feet.
Mm-hmm.
Bare. Compatibility mm-hmm. here suggests creating a good foundation together to actually build something tangible, good for financial issues and physical well-being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory. You know, the foundation, the foot is the foundation. It's the first thing that hits the earth. And, you know, you get a chance to see how that other person is working, how they're working their life in the day-to-day reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're looking for a mate, a life mate, or a partnership, then you want somebody who, you know, is grounded and and taking care of business, basically.
This is very true. Mm-hmm. A good support system, you know, because we're supposed to be able to support one another
Absolutely.
In more ways than one.
Right.
You know?
And it doesn't have to be that they have to be wealthy, but they have to have a level of stability, you know, if you're looking for a long-term relationship.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to the third sign, which is back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Should do this one standing up. No mm-hmm. movement should be done. Focus on your own feeling. Will bring feelings of competition with each other, but also support. Depends mm-hmm. on the people involved if this is a positive or negative experience.
Right.
Okay.
And this is, when I say competition, I don't mean like you're going to be competing with each other, you know, like you're running a race. What it means is that you want to, that you encourage that person or you inspire them to be their best. Okay, this is another long-term relationship indicator. How does this person motivate you to bring out, are you motivated to do your best work and to be your best self with this person, or does this person make you feel lazy or tired, or, you know, just whatever, what comes up for you when you are there, you know, back to back with this person? Do you see a support coming from this person as far as motivation, or do you feel a pulling away as far as they want to take up all of your time and energy and everything kind of thing? So, you know, those are some of the emotional things that may come up with that particular exercise.
Mm-hmm. And just to expound on that from my own perspective, I'll call it like a healthy competition.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as far as the inspiration, my life partner, my beloved, and I, we do that with each other. We inspire each other without really all the time trying to inspire each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it makes us do our best,
right,
which is also one of the four agreements.
Yeah.
One of the four agreements is to always do your best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if and within a relationship, if couples can inspire each other to greatness, then it makes for an even greater relationship between them.
Absolutely.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. Well, let's move on here to number
mm-hmm.
four, which is forehead to forehead or forehead to forehead, depending on who's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Crucial for successful long-term relationships. Compatibility here is an indication of potential for best friend relationship, even more so than the heart.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, it's because you think, you know, it's your consciousness, it's your intuitive level, it's how you view the world. And, you know, if your belief systems are so separate and so out of in sync with each other, it's going to be pretty hard to build a life together.
Yes, it is.
I mean, if people love each other all the time, they're split up,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they aren't on the same wavelength, so to speak.
Exactly. And doing the forehead to forehead is also eye to eye,
mm-hmm.
okay, because it's going with the spiritual eye where you can actually see deeper into this person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you want to take it even farther, the eyes are connected to the liver, which connects to our ability to handle anger, you know, and that's something that's really important. How does this person, are they explosive? Are they ready to, like, throw you out of a window when they're angry? Or are they, you know, do they have a handle on that? So all of the, on the subconscious levels, I mean, all of this, and again, these are going to come through your feeling levels,
mm-hmm.
how your response is.
Yeah.
That's what you have to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, let's go on here to breast to breast.
Mm-hmm.
Lightly embrace each other. Important not to move. Imagine that your breasts are fusing together. Compatibility here indicates a good partnership, laughter together, and ease in sharing emotions, good and bad. The
mm-hmm.
ability to really listen to each other is present with compatibility here.
Mm-hmm.
Point. Most people will have this compatibility in the beginning. That is why it is important to have at least four compatible points of contact, as this point can change over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our hearts open and close with experience. And just depending on where the relationship goes, ideally it stays open, but it can close, you know, for our own protection. And so that it's at least gives you an indication of, you know, how open that person is to really being available emotionally mm-hmm. to you, and how well they can truly accept you unconditionally, you know, over the long haul,
yes.
which is really what matters if you're looking for a long-term relationship.
Exactly. In fact, to add to that long-term relationship, there are three things I was told a number of years ago that should be in a relationship. I love you. I'm in love with you. I like you.
Mm-hmm.
And that if one of those three things is missing, that you need to say, hold, wait.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I agree. That was a very wise person, whoever said that.
Yes, it was an elder. I was, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember keeping that with me, even up to this age now, you know, and it is also, again, something that I share.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that there are couples, as you know, that there are couples where one usually outgrows the other one because one of them is on a spiritual path and the other one doesn't seem to really be interested in improving their spirit. And I happen to find it more that women seem to be the ones that are more inclined to try and really find themselves.
Yes.
You know.
Well, I think because we are, you know, the essence of the spiritual, on the embodiment of that on the earth plane, then when we have to do that, and when we're not doing that is when we get into trouble, when we ignore that part of ourselves and just try to live in that rational world that's set out before us, that's how we're quote-unquote supposed to live, that, you know, it causes all kinds of problems because that's not our essence, that's not who we are. You know, even the most masculine woman is a woman, and if she's not connected with that in a, you know, any kind of meaningful way, then she's in trouble.
And then the world is out of balance because
the woman
is out of balance. You know, it's like Elijah Muhammad said, you know, no nation can rise higher than a woman.
Higher than a woman. That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so therefore, all women who are listening and all men who may be listening to this, share this with your sisters, your cousins, your girlfriends, your lady friends, your mothers, that it is very important that women get themselves back in balance to help the world to get back in balance.
And there's no reason not to now, because there's enough available information to get you started in that direction. It used to be very hidden, very closeted, but it's out in the open now, so, you know, you can go for it.
Yes, this is true. Okay, mm-hmm. Now we have here, belly to belly.
Mm-hmm.
Important not to focus on the genitals, but the belly button area. The lighter in weight can lie sideways on top of the other.
Mm-hmm.
Compatibility here indicates the ability to spend long hours together, an important point for choosing a marriage partner.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we have genital to genital, remain clothed. This is a point where it is okay to gently move with your partner. Of course, this is the sexual point of compatibility, which has nothing to do with the length of time a relationship may last. Also, a point to see how compatible your tastes are in food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's interesting. Could you
mm-hmm.
talk about that a little bit? How do the genitals relate to food?
Well, the genitals are connected to the Svadhisthana chakra, which is the emotional area, which is the chakra that we experience the sense of taste through. And it's important to have somebody who has a similar taste in food, I think, because, I mean, you don't have to be in lockstep with each other, but if you're a vegetarian and they're not, that could set up all kinds of biological imbalances, you know, between the two of you, because you have very different body chemistry, and that can, you know, in sexual experience, that can be an issue.
Yes, it can.
So, you know, it's very fundamental. It's very practical. I mean, it may come from a seemingly off-the-wall place, but it's very important to have some compatibility there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can agree with you totally there, because a sister who I know, she is, I guess you would say, a lacto-vegetarian, Mm-hmm. You know, she eats
dairy and
dairy and fish
egg.
And
mm-hmm.
Well, actually, she doesn't really eat too many eggs, but
okay.
I guess she's more vegetarian than she's not. But
mm-hmm.
when she has had sexual relations with a man who's a meat eater, she always comes up with a yeast infection.
Mm-hmm. You know? Acid sperm.
Mm-hmm.
He has acid sperm. And that'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, even in Christine's book, The Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom,
mm-hmm.
She was talking about how some women are actually allergic to their husband's sperm.
Yes.
And they actually have physical breakouts.
Yep.
That's really mm-hmm. interesting.
Yeah. And a lot of it is diet and temperament, you know. And diet can throw temperament into something that it ordinarily wouldn't be. Okay, so if you're a very hot-natured person, if you're eating the traditional Western diet, that's going to make you off the charts. Whereas if you're a vegetarian and a hot-natured person, that'll help you stay balanced within the parameters of something that, you know, where you can handle it better as opposed to it taking you into a place of extremes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the value of eating moderate, you know, eating moderate amounts of, stimulating foods and meat type foods and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there goes my cayenne pepper.
Well, I mean, you can just see moderation. I mean, cayenne pepper is also, believe it or not, it can cool internally, even though it takes in heat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're hot when you eat it.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice, some people actually sweat when they eat hot foods, you know, hot spicy foods, because it's cooling them down internally. It's taking the excess heat out of their body, believe it or not. It almost has an opposite effect kind of thing. So it more has to do with the purity of the food. Because
mm-hmm.
cayenne pepper actually is considered a purifier, a blood purifier.
Right.
So, you know, it has more to do with the purity of the food, and, you know, meat itself is a heating, coagulating food that really wrecks, it can wreak havoc on your energy body kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be worried about cayenne pepper. I would be more worried about eating a steak.
Oh, please, no. Hurt my system. I mean, not that I'm a vegetarian or anything like that. You know, I am on liquids right now
mm-hmm.
and a lot of fruit, you
mm-hmm.
know, a lot of fruit within my shake, you know, but I haven't had a steak, and I don't know how many years.
Yeah, me
you know,
either.
It just didn't
mm-hmm.
agree with me
mm-mm.
after a certain time in my life.
Right.
You know, it was just too heavy.
And your body will let you know,
oh,
you know,
yes.
when it's time to give all that up. You don't have to do it because it's, you know, whatever religion you're practicing. It's just that those practices will eventually catch up with you where you can't do the same things you've been doing.
That's very true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the older we get, the wiser we get.
Yeah, yeah.
Because our bodies will say,
and we listen then.
I told you before.
Yeah.
You didn't want to listen back then. Okay.
Now you have no choice.
All right, now. Well, listen, we're getting ready to wrap this particular show up, my sister. You know, but I definitely would be interested, you know, in the future to have you on again.
Oh, I would love to.
To share some more wisdom with us, because I know that it is something that is very much needed, and I'm going to give you these last couple of minutes for you to go and share whatever it is that you need to share more with our listening audience.
Well, I just want to say that we are all radiant in our own way, that we have this sun, literal sun, that is the core of who we are. We're starlight. And all these ancient practices are just there. There's nothing, you know, spooky or crazy or scary about it. They're just there to help us reconnect with that inner sun and to radiate that energy outward, and our sexual energy is the core energy that keeps us going, and it's just important to honor that and to give it a place of honor in our lives instead of just something that we do unconsciously.
Oh,
that's the main message that I want to share at this time.
Okay. Now, if anyone is looking for more information about you and the work that you do, do you have a website or that they could go to or some way?
Yes, it's a work in progress right now, and I'll just give it out to people, and they can go and check it out. It's, I'll just say, HTTP, and then you have the colon, /, then your communities at, no, I shouldn't say at, it's communities, oh, yes, it is, at msn.com, another /, and it's called Lotusborn.
Okay.
And so I'll say that again. It's HTTP:// so you have two backslashes, and then it's communities at msn.com, another / Lotusborn, all one word, everything. There's no spaces between any of it. It's just written out like that, and that'll take you directly to my website. And if you want to email me, you can do so, and I'll spell this out as well. It's Liaya, L-I-A-Y-A, Yogini, Y-O-G-I-N-I, at msn.com.
All right. I thank you very much, my sister.
Thank you for having me. Okay. It was a pleasure, for real.
Yes. One of my favorite subjects, you know, I'm a Scorpio.
Yes, mine too.
Okay. All right. In fact, just before we go, when is your birthday?
December 22nd.
December 22nd, Master Builder. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm. All right. Well, you keep building, my sister.
I will do so, as much as I can.
Ashe.
And
I want to thank each and every one of my listeners who have heard this program this night. I want you to carry this message out to your friends and to your family and have them come and listen to the show, okay, at some point, because it will be sitting here archived for you. Wisdom Talks. Your host, Dr. Tanya K. Freeman, and my guest, Laia Anebnua, Tantrika Yogini. We give thanks this day. May life continue to be a glorious unfolding for all of you. Looking forward to being in your presence in the ethers. Peace and continued blessings.
The ancestral mothers are pleased that we have been able to spend some time together, embracing wisdom, sharing love and knowledge as we move along the path in this journey of life. May the blessings of the divine grandmothers be with you this day and every day as you continue to open your mind and heart to the emergence of the ancient future. Remember the ancient ways and keep them sacred.